Om Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. This is a severe reproach of the learned self-realized Brahmana Yadabharat to the mighty king Rahuganath. He will chastise him now. It is a fact, however, that these innocent people carrying your palanquin without payment are certainly suffering due to this injustice. Their condition is very lamentable because you have forcibly engaged them in carrying your palanquin. This proves that you are cruel and unkind. Yet due to false prestige, you were thinking that you were protecting the citizens. This is ludicrous. You were such a fool that you could not have been adored as a great man in an assembly of persons advanced in knowledge. Purport. King Rahugana was proud of being king, and he felt he had the right to control the citizens as he liked. But actually he was engaging men in carrying his palanquin without payment, and therefore he was causing them trouble without reason. Nonetheless, the king was thinking that he was the protector of the citizens. Actually, the king should be the representative of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. For this reason, he is called Nara Devata, the Lord among human beings. However, when a king thinks that because he is the head of the state, he can utilize the citizens for his sense gratification, he is in error. Such an attitude is not appreciated by learned scholars. According to the Vedic principles, the king should be advised by learned sages, by brahmanas and scholars, who advise him according to the injunctions given in the Dharma Shastra. The duty of the king is to follow these instructions. Learned circles do not appreciate the king's utilizing public endeavor for his own benefit. His duty is to give protection to the citizens instead. The king should not become such a rogue that he exploits the citizens for his own benefit. It is stated in Srimad Bhagavatam that in Kali Yuga, the heads of government will be plunderers and thieves. These thieves and plunderers take the money and property of the public by force or connivance. What is actually connivance? Trickery. Cunning, yes. Well, therefore it is said in the Srimad Bhagavatam, Rajanya Nigranir Dasyu Dharmabihi. As Kali Yuga advances, we can see that these characteristics are already visible. We can certainly imagine how deteriorated human civilization will be by the end of Kali Yuga. Indeed, there will be no longer a sane man capable of understanding God and our relationship with Him. In other words, human beings will be just like animals. At that time, in order to reform human society, Lord Krishna will come in the form of... Yes, you know everything. Kalki Avatar. His business will be to kill all the atheists, because ultimately the real protector is Vishnu or Krishna. The Lord incarnates and sets things in order when things are mismanaged by so-called kings and heads of government. As Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, Yada yadarhi dharmasya glanir bhavati bharata. Of course, yes, that is the rest of the verse. Of course, this takes many years, but the principle is there. When the king or governmental head does not follow the proper principles, nature deals out the punishments in the forms of war, famine, and so forth. Therefore, if the governmental head is not aware of life's goal, he should not take charge of ruling the people. Actually, the supreme proprietor of everything is Lord Vishnu. He is the maintainer of everyone. The king, the father, and the guardian are simply representatives of Lord Vishnu, empowered by him to look after the management and maintain things. It is therefore the duty of the head of the state to maintain the general populace in such a way that people will ultimately know the goal of life. Nate vidusvata gatim hi vishnum. Unfortunately, the foolish governmental head and the general populace do not know that the ultimate goal of life is to understand and approach Lord Vishnu. Without this knowledge, everyone is in ignorance, and all society is crowded with cheaters and cheated. Please chant. Namaum Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prishtaya Bhutale Simate Bhakti Vedanta Swami Niti Namine Namaste Sarasvate Deve Gauravani Pachanine Nivashesha Vanyavani Paskatya Desatani Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Yadvaita Garadhara Ivasadi Go Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama Amadama Hare Hare. Hare Krishna. Before starting this lecture, I have to ask you for permission to speak freely. In my last lecture, some of you were resting due to intense preaching, and this lecture I want to make sure that you are with the subject, because it will be a very soul-searching subject, so you have to give me the permission to speak freely. Okay? Silence. Hey, minister! What is God's work? Don't tell me it's creation, because he did this one time. But what is his daily work, minister? If you don't know the answer, you are fired. The minister was shocked. He knew his king was proud and arrogant, but that he would surprise him in the early morning with such a demanding question. What is God's work? He had not expected this. He searched his mind for a good answer, but couldn't find any. Then he said, Majesty, for this we have the priests. I am advising you for political advice. The priests are in charge for religious advice. Ask them.
Okay, said the king, get the main priest. The king was actually a good man, but he had this problem which Rahugana had. Pride and arrogance. He was intelligent. When the priest was called, the king asked him the question, "Hey, priest." "Yes, Majesty." "What is God's daily work?" The priest's knowledge was challenged. He didn't know the answer. He said, "Majesty, give me 1 week time. I want to search all the scriptures for the proper answer. Then at the end of the week, you can have your answer." But the priest knew trouble was brewing if he would not give the right answer, which would satisfy. Please note the little word, satisfy the king. He would be facing serious consequences. He looked through all his books, but there was no verse which clearly said what was God's daily work. At the end of the week, he decided to leave the country. On his way out, he met a shepherd dressed in rags. The shepherd asked him, "Majesty, priest, you look so miserable. What came over you? Why are you so much in problem and worries?" The priest said, "Why do you ask me? I'm leaving." "What?" "Yes, I don't know the answer to a question of His Majesty." The arrogant king. "What is this question?" asked the shepherd. "What is it to you? You don't know the scriptures very well." No. "Just asked, what is the question?" "Well, His Majesty has asked me, what is the work of God?" The shepherd smiled. Such an easy question, an easy answer. "Really? You know the answer? Then tell me." No, I will tell His Majesty personally." The priest had nothing to lose. He took the shepherd with him, and on the appointed time he came into the royal Shabha of learned men. The king was ready. "What is the answer to my question?" "Well, it is an easy question and an easy answer is there. This shepherd will give the answer," said the priest. "Hopefully this will work." The king said, "You better make sure that he knows the answer." Then the shepherd came in. He was dressed in rags. He came before the king. The king fired his question at him. "What is God's work? Tell me the answer." The shepherd looked at the majesty, the king, and said, "Before I answer this question, I have to make sure that the proper etiquette is observed in this court so that adharma doesn't enter. You are asking a question. You are asking the question to me. In this question, I'm your teacher and you are my pupil. It's not befitting that the disciple sits on a throne while the guru sits on the earth. We have to switch places." The pandits and the ministers were smiling behind the hand. Do we say this in English? He's going to get it. And they nodded to the king, "Yes, this is a proper etiquette." king went down from his throne, sat where the shepherd had sat, and the shepherd went on his throne, and he smiled, clearly enjoying his newfound sitting position. The king said, "Your answer, please, quick, your answer." The shepherd said, "The answer is already given. Don't you notice it? God's work is to bring the proud people down and bring the humble people up." Hare Krishna. Have you also noticed this work of God in your life? Does it sound familiar with the experience? There are verses in the Bhagavatam that Krishna does not like his devotees to become proud, and he makes arrangements to take away the proud. In the Harivamsa Purana, Indra is talking about his experience that he was the mighty king of the universe, but Lord Krishna had arranged to destroy his pride, which otherwise would destroy him. We will be talking about this pride and humility today from an, I would say, devotional existential point of view. It will be something where I will challenge your intelligence a little bit and will make your mind move. I will now translate the message of this story into the experience of the Hare Krishna movement. And since you have given me your consent at the beginning of the lecture to speak freely, I will remind you at times at your carelessly given assent before you have heard the lecture. Hare Krishna. As you notice, I want you to be awake. That's really what is behind these statements. I would like to talk today on something which we have given seminars about, and we want to comprise it a little bit. We want to speak about spiritual progress, downfalls, and also things which help us to really progress. In the Shastras it is said, Labdva Sudhulabam, that the human form of life is extremely rare to obtain, but it gives us a chance to reconnect with the Supreme Lord. The human form of life was given by Lord Krishna, the Bhagavatam tells us, after the Lord felt a dissatisfaction in his heart. He had created all the other life forms, but he saw that these other life forms were ruled exclusively by instincts. Then only he made the human form of life, which gives us a possibility to deeply ponder the spiritual truth and then follow a path to reach the absolute truth. The Katha Upanishad says, Utishta Utishta Jagata. Very emphatically it says to the human being, wake up, follow the spiritual path. And then it admonishes us. It's not easy to follow it. This path is as sharp as the edge of a razor's blade. This is a little foretelling of what is ahead for the spiritual searcher. He will get some sharp experiences. Hare Krishna. Please understand, my dear devotees, as you wake up in Krishna consciousness, you will come to different levels of awareness. You will understand your relationship with Krishna
on deeper and deeper levels. More in the beginning, it was more in a specific, in a general way, that you are small and God is great, and you are His servant. But as you grow up in your spiritual life, you will know many more things than just the three sentences. You will know what service means. You will face your own humanness on the path to enlightenment. At the beginning, we might have thought that the world, as we advance, the world falls more and more away, and we become more happy and more joyous as we advance. We might have hoped that the world closes its doors, but alas, it is different. The experience of a devotee, while he advances in spiritual life, we will try to depict it in graphic models. Our Gaurahari will help our understanding. Yes. The first understanding which a devotee has about making advancement in spiritual life is a linear understanding. We often have heard classes by esteemed speakers which are having a title like this: From to. That is, from Shraddha to Prema. And our first understanding during these lectures might have been something like this. You start at point A, which is depicted with a little circle, and you go higher and higher and higher and higher until you are back home, back to Godhead. That is a very rudimentary understanding of progress. This understanding, by the way, is also there in the logo of the German bank, Die Deutsche Bank. They paint a little thing like this around it, a little box. You invest in us in this closed box of the German bank investment. Invest more and more and more, and then life, you will get more and more money, and then life will be more happy with cars and nice holidays at interesting scenic places and so on. It's a linear form of advancement. This is how we usually understand from Shraddha to Prema. But then something happens on the road to heaven. Small accidents. Oops. Embarrassing accidents. After 5 years, we still eat too much on the Sunday feast. And although we have heard many times that prasadam is okay when it comes to sense gratification, we don't believe it any longer because Monday is a terrible day. We have a hangover and we make inhuman noises from our exhaustion fume. We feel, am I really making advancement? Then from this small things, we also make mistakes like maybe we look too much at the opposite gender, members of the opposite genders. Although this is a taboo subject in the temple, we sometimes go to movies, it's clearly not really necessary for spiritual advancement. It seems our path is not just a straight vector. Some little things happen like is painted in this graph. Please don't go very much down because we don't want to embarrass our audience early in the morning.
It's more like this. No harm.
Lord Krishna says in the Bhagavatam, describes such a devotee. If you want to read it in the Bhagavatam, I will give you the reference in a minute. It's a good reference to note down for those who take notes, but first let us hear.
Jata shadho matkatasu nirvina sarvakarmasu veda dukat makan kaman parityage pyanishvaraha tato bhajete mang prita shradhalu drita.
Drita? Have you noticed this word? It means determination. Nishchayaha
yushamanas chatan kamang duko dalakangs chagahayan.
Lord Krishna speaks about a devotee who has developed faith and who has also developed some detachment to material life, but whose road is sometimes a curved road.
Having a vacant faith in the narrations of my glories, being disgusted with all material activities, knowing that all sense gratification leads only to misery, but, you know this, but still being unable to renounce all sense gratification, my devotee should remain happy. Why happy? And worship me with great faith and conviction.
Now the reason for the devotee's happiness, you would think that Krishna would say, my devotee should be extremely frustrated with his fallen state. No, my devotee should remain happy and worship me with great faith and conviction. Why? Even though he is sometimes engaged in sense enjoyment,
Lord knows me.
Even though he is sometimes engaged in sense enjoyment, my devotee knows that all sense gratification leads to a miserable result, and he sincerely repents such activities.
Here, Lord Krishna encourages his devotees. He does this in other shlokas also. Apichet sudaracharo. We will quote this a little later, that sloka. But here he encourages the devotee who does not act according to his understanding, who is weak at moments, who does things which are not really something he wants everybody to know about. Do you have such a realization of such activities? Don't now nod your head just and smile. I think we all know there's sometimes we are not able to perform on the level which we really know we should.
No?
Yes.
When I give such a lecture, usually my audience freezes. Where is he going to get it? I'm going to go much deeper. It will be much more intense in a moment. fasten your seatbelts, please.
But Krishna says, no problem. I feel sometimes we are much harsher to our members than the Lord is. We are less forgiving. Less understanding even, because we might still keep this ideal on the left that it has to go just like this. This is what progress means. Everything else is despicable, criticable, it's to be criticized. My English is very rudimentary. Cannot make any experiments with the language. And so on and so forth. Huh? So that we become highly discomforted, first of all, to see others going a little deep. And then why does it discomfort us so much? Because we feel it has something to do with me. I'm also sometimes, I'm trying, says Prabhupada, in one lecture. My dear Lord, I'm trying. But I'm failing. This is how it. Please give me strength. This is how a devotee should pray to the Lord. I'm trying,
but I'm failing. Please give me strength. There's, however, another model which is more disturbing. I would like to move a little bit into the Gujarati community now, because this is a very strong community in London, and maybe some will listen to this recorded thing. There is a saint called Tukaram, who is very, very respected. And Tukaram, we hear from some Vaishnava commentators, had a vision of Shishigonitai, who in the vision initiated him in the process of Sankirtan, singing the holy names. Tukaram's story is very interesting. I will only be able to say it at, say, one point out of his life in brief. He was a very, very... he was a farmer, but then Maharashtra's greatest famine stroke, and he had to see with his own eyes how both of his aged parents and his wife died from hunger. After seeing this traumatic loss of his family, in his family, he took entirely to the chanting of the Lord's holy name. He worshipped Pandurang, a Krishna deity, and had songs like Pandurangam Vitalnath Hari Narayan, and he would gather a group of following and go from village to village to chant the names of the God, of the Lord, as the only remedy. He developed other kirtans with own compositions, and became so very established that the caste Brahmins felt threatened by him, and one day they put him on a trial. They were annoyed that he took the religious experience out of the hands of the priestly caste and delivered it right into the hands of the followers. Does this sound familiar? Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who said, you can approach the Lord by chanting his holy name. You don't need even a priestly caste. And the revolt was predictable. They took all his body of literature, about 5,000, I heard, beautiful songs, and threw them in the Indrani River, and said, if God wants your poetry, he will protect your poems. So this was too much for Tukaram. He had worshipped the Lord, but he had endured so much trouble that this was too much. He sat down on the river and he said to the sang a song to the Lord, if you don't give my poems back, if you don't acknowledge that what I did was had your agreement, I will fast myself to death, and then the world will know about your mercy. And he started to fast. I heard it was 13 days. Then after 13 days, all the manuscripts, which were not written in waterproof, with waterproof modern pen, but with water dilutable ink, all of them turned up, and all the letters were kept intact. And do you know what Tukaram's reaction was? He felt sorry. He felt sorry that he had demanded of his Lord a proof like that, a visible proof. He felt very humiliated that he had put the Lord on trial. A little later he wrote a song, and I want to read the song to you. it is
for me the, now you have to help me because I will need to translate it. Is there an English word which says something like meteorite? It's something like, it's not a star, it's a falling star. When they come to the ground, they destroy everything. If it falls on our heads, it's the end. So I want to now talk about this Tukaram experience, which I believe some of us have made. At least many older devotees in my generation have made this experience, where it seems that everything is taken away. You have a health crisis where you can only whimper, or you have a mental crisis where you don't know what is happening. Everything, the world seems to be upside down, and so on. Listen to this now. When it comes from the clear sky, a meteorite, and crashes your house, then know God hath visited you. When it comes, a catastrophe which totally annihilates you so that nothing remains of you, then know God has visited you. When your whole humanness is ripped into shreds so that it can never again come together the way it used to be, then know God has visited you. There are other such verses, but I don't want to shock you too much. Look how God has visited Tukaram. He is totally in bliss and dances in ecstasy now. This is another experience which we want to now write down. We don't have just a little thing in our life where we are diverted from the path. But no, something big comes our way. We have made such nice advancement, and then all of a sudden it comes, no! Then, yes, we catch ourselves together. Then again, Then we go very up, we are worshipped, and then it really comes. No, really, this is only a little. No, really. It really comes. And then in our spiritual onward march, we continue. Please have the positive. Yes, this is. Let it go a little higher. Otherwise, the audience is too much discouraged. I meant higher. Higher. Yes. Spiritual progress, and I want to really say this, has all these moments. Lord Krishna knows about this, and therefore he pronounces this verse, Apichet Sudaracharo Bhajate Mang Ananyabhak. Sadhu eva samantavya same yukta. What? Same yukta? Same yukta vyavyasito hisaha. Yes. Lord Krishna protects his devotees. He says, my devotee, may even do the most abominable thing. This is really something, you know, abominable means abominable. It's a consciously chosen word by Srila Prabhupada. But he is considered to be a saint because he's rightly situated in his determination. That means he remains on the path of progress. My dear devotees, I would like to now erase this concept of progress, because as we have seen, this doesn't work like this. I thought to erase the first concept of progress, a straight Gaurahariji.
first, yes, because this is the ordinary American understanding of life, which has filtered into the Hare Krishna movement, by the way. That is a model which is seems to not tally the experience. A model, what we need to understand before we come to a model which I feel explains more about the reality of spiritual progress is something which Lord Krishna talks about in the seventh canto of the Bhagavad Gita. See, all of us who are in this world have very deep-rooted tendencies to enjoy and control. Please use on the right side. These are two V's. I do not know if you have these V's in England. There are V's who have very deep roots, and if you really want to get them out of the ground, you have to go deep into the roots at its deepest level, because if you only pluck the weeds up there and don't go down to the weeds, down to the roots, the weeds will come up again. So we all have these weeds in the garden of our heart, the weeds of Ichad and Dvesha. Those who are in this world, and we all are, have these deep, deep desires to enjoy and control. In Germany, we call the weed Sauerampfer. The sound tells you already something serious. Sauerampfer. Translated into English, the best way to translate it is sour challenge. The sour challenge. I find it's a good name for what's going on. The weeds in our heart are a sour challenge to every sadhaka. And to bring them out, we need to go very, very deep. If you want your spiritual progress to really be something realistic and not something mental, or something external, which is only a progress in, let us say, position, for instance, or anything external, you do need to address these weeds on more subtler and subtler and yet subtler level. Otherwise, you will not be able to make substantial and real advancement. And you will be tested on these subtler and yet subtler and yet subtler levels. And this is due to this reason that Krishna provides such a spiritual experience. I would say it's more like a spiral movement. Go to Hariji. You start at point A and you move upwards. And then on a different level, you come again to point A. You don't have to deal with it for some time. You move upward. And on, there it is again. There. Yes. It's always the same point. But Gaurari, you didn't make it the way the experience is. You have to make the circles wider. You know, small in the beginning and wide. It's, this is wrong, this graphic. You know what I mean? It's very important that we get this model right. I think I have something. Let me tell you very graphically what it means. Bhakta Allen is meeting a devotee in an unexpected situation. Bhakta Allen is smoking a cigarette before the temple. The devotee said, Allen.
Krishna is the supreme enjoyer, not you. And this is not enjoyment, by the way. Ellen, sit down now. And he, the devotee, preaches to him very compassionately, very accurately. And Ellen understands, oh, no, yes, okay, this was my last, maybe not my last cigarette. This was my cigarette before the last cigarette. Then he goes at home, he smokes his last cigarette, he takes the whole package and symbolically he throws it into the place of no return. He flushes the water and he cries as the water roars, and it's his last package of cigarette. And he advances, he becomes Ananda Krishna. Then a little later, the temple president serves him a notice. Ananda Krishna Prabhuji, I have to speak to you. Please come well prepared tomorrow at 11 o'clock in my office. What could it be? Says Ananda Krishna. Temple president looks at Ananda Krishna and says, Ananda Krishna, I will have to tell you something which you will not immediately agree with, but just sit peacefully. Would you like a glass of water? He was never so polite to me. Then it starts. Ananda Krishna, I'm getting report after report. Your service attitude is not good. Last Sunday I made an experiment. Sorry I didn't tell you. I told you, can you please wash the pots after the Sunday program? You agreed. But then when I looked, you were not in the kitchen. Today in the morning, Monday morning, the pots are still there, unwashed. But this is not the only thing. Whenever someone tells you to do something, you are not there. Your service attitude is so wrong. Krishna is the enjoyer, and Krishna is the controller. We have little time, so I will progress in Ananda Krishna's journey. He protests. It's totally irrational what you say. I'm always doing service. See my results, huh? A life of dedicated service. No, a life of avoiding service, I would say, says the temple president. Ananda Krishna is clearly challenged. He broods over it, should I bloop or not? But finally he sees the point. Yes, he is so correct, the old man. Krishna. Okay, I will do something. I will serve. And he becomes again a very humble devotee. He goes on, let me now visit Ananda Krishna when he is Ananda Krishna Goswami, the first initiating spiritual master initiating spiritual master of a still living spiritual master. Maybe we have this already in ISKCON. So he is so famous, you have no idea. When he comes and preaches anywhere, there are thousands of people. Even TV has noticed him, that he can talk on a level which is understandable. He has published not one book. He has published not five books. He has published 12 and a half books. The half book is still in the pipeline. And that will be the most smashing book he has ever published. He has disciples who are so rich and so wealthy. You have no idea. One day, Ananda Krishna Goswami gets an email. Please come to Mayapur. I need to speak to you. And the name of his guru Maharaj is there, Balaram Swami. Oops. So another Krishna, usually he dictates his letters, but this one he writes personally. Guru Maharaj, I very much would like to know to come. You know how much I like Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. But just now, I have a very, very promising preaching tour. There are 5 appearances in TV and. An email comes back which has only 2 words. Come immediately.
This Adanda Krishna Goswami Maharaj. Anyways, my preaching tour was not that important. I can do it later, and I don't know why he calls me. But if he writes, come immediately, it means I have to come. And, you know, if everyone will start making a rumor. If I don't come immediately, they will know it. Then I'm not in such good reputation any longer. My guru nishtha is not 100%, they will say. Okay, get on the flight. And the first thing he does when he arrives in Mayapur, comes to his guru. His guru looks very concerned. You must be a little jet-lagged. It's all right, I'm flying very often. What is it you want to talk with me about? It's a little bit more serious. I advise you to take good rest, take your bath in the Ganga, pray to the deities, and I really have to speak seriously with you. Oh, Guru Maharaj, it's not true. These rumors that I've talked too long to a lady, it's simply not true. What is the Guru Maharaj? I didn't hear about that. Please, you are a little, traveling makes the Vata element. I know myself, I'm a little elderly now, Vata element a little strongly. So you please take your good rest and you come tomorrow. Ananda Krishna Goswami knows this will be serious. So he prays and he prays and does many things. He also chants the Narayan Kavachan for protection. Ananda Krishna Goswami sits before his Guru Maharaj. Guru Maharaj starts. I'm very appreciative of your many services. I know you are taking Krishna consciousness very serious. However, as we advance, we have to face these deep-rooted desires of enjoyment and controlling. Yes, Guru Maharaj, I know this. My dear disciple, why do you sit there so resentful? You don't even have the ears to listen to me. Yes, I'm listening. You must know, as more as you advance, you become a target point of Maya. Prabhupada has said this. You have to be very careful. Your service attitude, I have the feeling you enjoy your fame and your glories for yourself to cement your troubled position of the false ego. And I can see you are not open to these simple spiritual messages. I will not continue to talk with you now. Come back tomorrow. Ananda Krishna Goswami goes out of the room. He's in turmoil. He goes to the kirtan in the Mayapur Mandir. There's a very wonderful kirtan going on and everyone is dancing. Ananda Chaitanya stands with his danda like this. All of a sudden, it must be a young bhakta. He's totally red in his face. He comes
dancing out of the circle with that blissful smile. And he takes Ananda Chaitanya, Ananda Krishna Goswami by the arm and tries to pull him into the circle where he is now expected that he dances very dynamically. But Ananda Krishna Goswami really is not in the mood to dance. And what does he think he is? Does he know who I am? Ananda Krishna Goswami, very accomplished guru, and he just makes like, ah! And his danda goes and hits that bhakta on the eye and blood comes. And with the blood which comes running down, Ananda Krishna Goswami experiences a transformation. Oh my God, this is how I have become. I have heard this good-hearted devotee. He wanted that we dance in Mahaprabhu's kirtan. I was so proud. I couldn't even listen to my Guru Maharaj. It's so true. Ananda Krishna Goswami pays his most humble obeisances to the devotee that kirtan stops. Begs apologies, and the devotee says, no, Maharaj, what? No, I hit you with my danda, blood came. No, when I'm dancing, this often happens. I have a little too much arterias here or veins or whatever it's called. And it sometimes jumps open, you know, you didn't do anything. But I hit you with my danda. No. No, I don't know. I mean, I know my body. You didn't hit me with your danda. What? At this moment, Ananda, the kirtan continues, Ananda Krishna Goswami looks to the deities. And as he looks to the deities, a scene comes into his mind. When he was Alan, Bhakta Alan, how the devotee preached to him, Krishna is the enjoyer and the controller. When he was Ananda Krishna Brahmachari, how the temple president said, your service attitude is not right. That scene flashes up. Krishna is the enjoyer and controller. Then he comes into the scene of this aged Guru Maharaj who says to him, Krishna is the enjoyer and the controller. And Ananda Krishna Goswami gets the point. And this is a point which I would also like you to kindly approach. I'm always looking at the watch. As you go deeper and enjoy deeper in your spiritual life, you will have to address these two points you, as a conditioned soul, want to enjoy, and in order to make sure that your enjoyment is there, you want to control also your environment. And Krishna, who doesn't like his devotees, Krishna, who wants his devotees back home, back to Godhead, will arrange situations in your life so that you can face these two tendencies deeper and deeper. That's why he arranged the Govardhan Leela to sober up Indra, so that he could give up his enjoying and controlling spirit. That's why Chaitanya Mahaprabhu arranged everything so that this devotee who came in, Vallabhacharya, came into the situation where he was chastised. See, if you grow in your spiritual life, the growth has to be in two directions. That's another reason why the American model doesn't work, of just this vector which goes higher. You have to grow in humility, because only a humble soul, or a humbled soul, who has become humble due to circumstances, he will be able to go deep enough to bow down deep enough with his mind so that he can first of all recognize these subtle areas where he still wants to enjoy and control and not be rebellious against it. And only a humble soul can actually do something against these desires to enjoy and control. Let us look, and I'm almost finished, at the growth of a tree. A tree, as the tree grows, develops the crown of a tree. Is this an English word? Branches, fruits, and so on. I think everyone, we don't need a graph for that. But if the roots don't go deeper, this crown of the tree adds an additional amount of weight and makes the tree more vulnerable to fall. The, a little gale or a little, the beginning of a storm can throw the tree down. Do you know what I mean? In Goloka Dham, Goloka Dham can mean, I mean the project where I'm in the, near the village Abenteuer. Many trees last winter have fallen down, because there was a wind, because the roots were just so superficial, so just a little bit under the ground, and, big trees have fallen down. So if you are making progress in your life, and mind you, all these models which we saw were trying to explain what happens on the path of progress. You must, absolutely must, grow your roots deeper. It's an absolute need. It is not a luxury. You must have, and the only thing which gives you the qualities of humility is spiritual strength. Bhajan, by your bhajan, you develop this strength. This is not immediately perceptible to devotees because we have in the Western world a slightly off-track understanding of what humility means. But that is a whole different lecture. But I want to say one quality of humility is forgiveness. And in order to forgive, you need to be strong. You know, if someone slights you or hurts you, if you want to forgive that person, okay, it's all right. Then you must be spiritually strong. So humility has many facets, many qualities. It's a very, very wonderful quality, which we really can't explain now. You have heard also many lectures about this. Much better than I could explain maybe what is humility. But here I only want to say, humility, you require a strength to act on the humble platform. So humility is not for weak people who have a minority complex, which is a psychological thing, which means when you many times we devotees have developed a minority complex, maybe because we have not understood what humility means. I want to just address this one point with one clever sentence or intelligent sentence. Clever sounds not right. I hope I can say it with the right intonation. Humility does not mean to think less of yourself, but to think of yourself less. Have I said it correctly? You don't think so often about yourself and your bad qualities or so-called good qualities. You just think more of Krishna and of the unique opportunity for all of us that even though we may not be 100% perfect, apichet sudaracharo, the Lord still loves us. So this is a little bit in the direction of harmless humility or helpful humility. It's not helpful if you think all the time about your bad qualities and think only me, and not Krishna, and the wonderful promise of spiritual life.
So this is absolutely necessary. And you can't develop the strengths of humility. You know, we speak of a concept which requires strengths, as I wanted to show you with mentioning that forgiveness is one, belongs to this big realm of, big kingdom of humility. If you want to develop the strengths of humility, you, it can only come from bhajan. Therefore, when Bhaktivinoda Thakur speaks in Bhajan Rahasya about the verse Trinadapi, he starts with an explanatory verse which says, we are not the body, we are soul. This is, you have to rest your humility on spiritual qualities which come when you do your bhajan. Very good. So, Hare Krishna. Now I will take back your agreement. You had agreed that I could speak very freely at the beginning of the class. Thank you so much that you have encouraged me to give this difficult presentation. It is difficult for two reasons. Because first of all, we address some very, very intense subject matters, and we look at concepts which we had, which may not be so helpful. Second of all, it's difficult because it's obviously a very large subject matter, and because we had not planned a seminar here where we could explain the concepts more deep, we had to try to rush through these concepts, making them as clear as possible. If you would ask me what you want to tell us with this lecture, Maharaj, I will summarize my lecture in two sentences. The first sentence is, please be aware what will happen on your spiritual journey, and please know that even the different paths, that even if you have failures and so on, it is natural, as the verse has verse says, which I wanted to give you the reference. I want you to read about this when you're free reading space. Eleventh canto, chapter 20, verse 27 to 28. And the second message was, or point of the lecture was, in order to uproot these deep-rooted desires of enjoyment and controlling, which form the whole basis of our material life, we have to be willing to look at humility and go make our roots very, very deep in the earth of humility. Thank you very, very much. I cannot take any questions now because we have gone 3 minutes over time. Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Sisi go nitai ki jai, Gaura prema nandi hari hari bo, hari hari.